It says recording again. Yay. So welcome back, everybody, to our part two. I don't know how many parts we'll end up having, but hope you had a good break and took care of yourselves and nourished yourselves if need be, hydrated yourself. I have my water. Where'd it go? Darn. Well, I have my smoothie at least. I have to run down and get the water. I thought I brought the water up. I made myself a little smoothie. That's a little smoothie, I say, with in jest, but it's the size I normally would drink. It's a quart. And it only took me a few minutes to make because I just thrust up together. But I felt like I needed it. So here we go. Okay. So what I would love to do next, how's everybody doing so far? Is this helpful?
Yep. Good.
Yes?
Looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right. So the next thing that I wanted to do was I actually wanted to go through each of the pillars and then just get each person to kind of comment on how you're doing with that pillar, what support you might need with being better with that pillar, or if you've mastered it completely, fantastic. One of the things we have on our agenda to do on the site is to set it up so that there's little quizzes before each of the pillar things to say, how are you rating in here? And if you're doing great, it's like, you know, some of the tendency is I have to do every video. I have to watch everything. It's like, great, you're doing great. You can skip on to the next one, right? Or you need a little bit more help here. You know, say you're not drinking enough water or whatever it might be. You'll get a sense when you see the answers to your quiz of whether what you have to focus on that particular pillar. There's a lot of stuff here, and you probably spend years going through the whole site. And some people do. It's not a problem. Whoops. So what I'm going to do is let me get my screen set up to go through the pillars. ERC. And okay. So I'm going to share my screen. Share screen. And we're going to go here. All right. So let me know that you can see my screen. You see it? It should have the list of the pillars here. Mine looks a little different than yours in that some of them have, why are some of mine grayed out? Oh, some of them are grayed out because they're there twice. It has something to do with being an admin. I don't know why, but you should see each of the pillars. All of them should say in orange, get started, so it's accessible to you. If you go here and you have any of these pillars that are grayed out like this that say more information, you need to let us know because there's something that we need to fix on your site. Because typically, if you click that up, it'll say, please complete the checklist. Ah, so that's it. If you haven't completed the checklist, it won't. So some of these you need to complete the checklist. So this get started, like when you first came in, this is probably they were all grayed out except for get started and this because you did this at the very beginning. But when new person comes in, they're going to have to go through these before they can get to the rest of it because we really want to get you filling out your getting to know you form, et cetera. That doesn't apply to you guys because you've been in for a while. So what I want to really do is go to the Body Freedom Foundations, which is the pillars. Click on that. And we're just going to start with one and then we're going to work our way through. So I'm going to start with stress transformation. And who has not gone through the 30-day stress transformation, the messages? Is there anybody that hasn't? Who has? Everybody has gone through that, downloaded. That's where you come here. You guys transforming stress. This is an intro video, transforming stress system. And right at the top of that page, we sent this to you when you first signed up. You can sign up to receive the emails. Once you've gone through them, if you don't feel like you have this nailed and you're doing it every day, sign up to receive them again. You can do it again and again and again. So some people download them to their computer. Who's incorporating taking these little stress transformation breaks 5 or more times a day? Raise your hand or type it into the chat. 5 or more times a day? Rich? Yay? Sarah?
I slacked off a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, good. That's something that we tend to do, right? But here's the thing. If you feel like you're just making your way through the life and everything's good, and you're probably just doing it naturally, right? You just kind of, you feel something stressful come up, you breathe, you work through it. But if you are feeling like there are those stressful times during the day, are you still feeling like there's an emotional eating tendency coming up, that, which would imply that they're stressed, or you feel your heart racing, then get back into this mode, because it helps to transform your blood sugar. It helps to transform everything about you. So who has difficulty with incorporating this? And it doesn't have to be the heart map, because that's my technique. Maybe you do tapping. Maybe you just do some breathing, deep yoga breathing. Maybe you do yoga poses. But over and over throughout the day is super important. So if you're not already doing it, I want you to jot down. I want you to take out a piece of paper for yourself as far as action items, or a doc on the computer. Just jot down some of the reminders. Do the heart math or some sort of stress transformation break 5 times a day. Why do I say 5 times a day? Because here's the thing. If you sit down to a meal and you don't do this first, you're going into the meal in fight-flight mode with high levels of cortisol and low levels of digestive enzymes. So if you're having any sort of digestive issues, you have to minimally make sure you're doing it before each meal. So who can do that? It's 2 minutes. Who can do that before each meal? Okay. If you have anything at all related to sleep, this is the transition from life to sleep. I'm out there. I'm doing this stuff. You have to transition your body to remind it it's going into sleep mode, whether it be a few yoga poses, whether it be stretching, but breathing and appreciation shifts you into that. So right before you go to sleep. And then the other time I highly recommend is right before you get out of bed in the morning, because a lot of us, you know, get up and the first thing you're thinking about is, I have this project to do and that to do and this meeting to go to and this shopping list to attend to. And first, you're just thinking of all the things you have to do. How about if you started your day with that and just laid in bed and found things to appreciate? 2 minutes of your time is well spent to help your health throughout the rest of the day. And this is especially true. This stress piece is especially true for those of you who have any sort of adrenal dysregulation, whether it's high or low cortisols or cortisols all over the map. Anybody that has any kind of digestive issues, because the cortisol interrupts that. Anybody who has any cardiac stuff, high blood pressure, super low blood pressure, palpitations, anything at all related, high cholesterol. All of those are especially important for doing this guest transformation. Okay. Next. Anybody have a problem with doing that? Nope. No? Okay. So write it down if you're not doing it. And congratulations to those of you who are. We just talked about the attitudes and belief pillars. Just as a review, that part of that is the Inspired Health Vision System. Make sure you know what your visions and goals are, especially if you're having difficulties with sticking the course, especially if you tend to be, well, I'll get back to it tomorrow. The Positive Aspects Journal is something we all started at SIV, if you came to SIV, and if you didn't, we did it on a call last year. But this is this great journal, and it tells you all about it in this document. But create something, like create a ritual for yourself of every day writing some good things about yourself here, especially if you are one of these your own worst critic type people, right? If you don't do it in a notebook, you can do it mentally during one of your little meditations or heart math breaks. But I think writing it down is especially good, and here's why. There are those days when we're really getting down on ourselves. There's those days when you're like, I can't do anything right, and why isn't this working? Why not be able to have this document that you created, this little notebook that you can pick up and you go, oh yeah, that's right. I do like the color of my hair and I love the color of my eyes. And wow, I do have strong nails, or I am a good mother, right? I am a good grandmother. To remind yourself, to help shift your state, because when you're in a stressed out state, you can't get into your left brain to actually see things logically. And that logical thinking helps to shift you. Well, I am pretty smart. I got a law degree. I'm pretty darn smart. You know, I'm successful on those days where maybe you're thinking, I'm this and that and the other thing. So whether it be a journal, whether it be a little notebook, whether it be a little file, whether it be on your little cell phone, that the things that say, what's the thing called, a notebook or notes or something, right? There's a lot of different apps, and it can be just on your phone that every day you write into it. Evernote, that you just write a few things about yourself and who you are. Is that your notebook? Here, let me unmute you. I see Sarah moving around with a notebook. There we are. Oops, I can't unmute you. Try it. You can't unmute. What's happening? It's not letting me unmute you. There you go.
It is my notebook.
Yay. It's your positive aspects notebook? Or
no, it's just my notebook for this.
For the program. Got it.
Right.
And do you jot down things about your goodness?
Well, yeah, I do. But I can get away from that too, you know? So this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really works.
Yeah. I agree with you that it really works. And these soft things are the things that tend to get away with people. Yeah, I'm doing my gluten-free, and yeah, I'm making my smoothies every day or whatever it is you're doing. But the soft stuff, right, is the stuff that we just go, yeah, that can't be that important. In reality, it is. I listened to a really good TED Talk yesterday on stress that somebody in the sweet spot posted. I think it was Lorraine, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of our L's. We have a lot of L girls in there. But she posted this really good, it was by a Dr. Divi, D-I-V-I. And it was a really good reminder of how stress impacts. And it was for her, it was chronic pain that she was able to get away from. And we know that stress is the mental, emotional. It's always the physical. It can be infections. It can be imbalances, etc. But we all tend to, you know, I don't know, just take for granted that the soft stuff, the appreciation, the positive aspects make a big difference. So type into the chat if you're committed to at least consider some way of doing this, right? Going to your cell phone and having a little file that you write it in, a pretty notebook. At SIV, we gave you the notebook and we had you decorate it so that it had a reflection of you and your values and goals. That's a really helpful thing. It could be a full-size notebook. It could be a little memo pad. Whatever it is that works for you, make it work. And Karen said she's going to do it in Evernote. Beautiful. Great. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Anybody else going to do it? Raise your hand or write it in the chat.
I like the note on the phone idea too. That sounds good. I can commit.
Good. All right. And Paula says she'll do it. Debbie says she'll do it too. Okay. We go backwards. Is this a helpful reminder? Letting go of limiting beliefs. We did this at SIV too, but this is something that these guys creep up all the time. Those limiting beliefs. I can't, I won't, I shouldn't. Everybody in my family had this. I have this disease, therefore it can't get better because the doctor said it couldn't. What is it? And this is a really good, there's a good video. You can watch the video. It's short. What is it, 20 minutes?
Hello.
30 minutes, 29 minutes. And it talks about this limiting belief stuff and then just gives you this disarm your limiting beliefs thing. We all have them. That mine come up all the time, right? Mine come up all the time. Am I a good enough mother? My kids seem not to be happy here. They yelled at me because they didn't like something I said. What did I say? Am I being inconsiderate? Am I, you know, we all have that. And so when it comes up, if there's a way that we can pull our logical mind in and disarm it, it's really important. Because the beliefs, once they're put in there, and maybe a belief you picked up in a young age, once they're in there, they play. They just naturally play when the situation comes up that triggers it. And a lot of times we have to go back and reprogram. So this is just a reminder that you've got that there to work on. That's our attitudes and beliefs. Our next pillar, sleep. And I know, Paula, you've had some improvement here. Who's still having some struggles with sleep? Raise your hand or just type it into the chat and let me know. I want to know if anybody's still having. I know, Paula, it's not perfect yet, right? But who else is, so we can spend a little time talking about sleep. Anybody else having trouble with sleep? Who sleeps really well? You know, get into bed and sleep for 6 to 8 hours a night.
Really. I do good on six.
You do good on six and you feel good with six?
Yeah. I was trying to decide whether though, looking at my Dutch test, whether I should take some melatonin, even though I don't really feel like I need it.
It was a little on the low side, right? I don't remember how low it was. How low was it?
I don't remember, but I'm thinking low enough to probably try some.
Yeah, so you can try some melatonin. The other thing you could try is 5-HTP. 5-HTP can be converted into a melatonin as you want it. It's a serotonin precursor. Okay. And it also is good for, you know, if you just generally tend to get a little hypervigilant about things or, you know, so it's like you're giving your body a raw material, which is that amino acid. And then allowing it to convert it to serotonin and then the serotonin to melatonin as needed. So that's my preference, rather than giving a hormone. I try not to, like, give the body a hormone unless there's obviously a reason, like there's a missing gland and it's not making it anymore, right? But as far as some of those others, if we can give the building block and allow the body to do it, I think it can be better. Much more helpful.
May I ask a question, Dr. Rita Marie? What time of the day would you be taking that 5-HTP?
I would take it at bedtime.
Okay.
Or, I mean, especially if you're trying to make more melatonin, I would take it at bedtime or maybe an hour before bedtime.
Okay, thank you.
And it also depends on whether, if you are having sleep difficulties, whether you're having difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep.
Staying asleep,
then I would take it at bedtime. If you're having trouble falling asleep, I might take it at dinner time or between dinner and bedtime.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, absolutely. And then in the sleep, you know, we have a whole bunch of resources for you. There's a whole thing on herbs. There's advanced sleep resources. There's some basic stuff, and I would highly recommend if you're having sleep difficulties that you start with the first one. You just do like a checklist. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Could I do this? Am I writing down all the things that are on my mind right before I fall asleep? There's a lot of stuff in here, and I don't want to spend the time to go through all of it. That's why I created videos on it, but I would go through it if you're having difficulty with sleeping or you're waking up in the morning. Maybe you're sleeping okay, but you're waking up in the morning not feeling well rested. Now, today, I think the reason you get away with doing 6 hours versus somebody else may need 7 or 8 is, I remember you telling me you go to bed real early and you get up real, like you go to bed at before 10, like 9 or 10. And
yeah, 9:30 to 3.
9:30 to 3. And there are studies that show that those hours are more effective sleep. I know Tom Lodi, if you listen to the interview I did with him on my blog, you can find it. It was on cancer, but he has found that that's his ideal. He says, you know, go to bed at 9, get up at 3. That's your really excellent time to sleep. And then you can get away with 6 hours. But if you're going to bed at 11, you really probably need the 7 or 8 hours. And he's just studied this and working with lots of people. So if you do want to get away with 6 hours, which I like to do, I could be going to bed at 9 o'clock, which is really hard to do, especially with kids and a husband who don't like to go to bed early. But yeah, you're doing fine with that. But if you notice that you're having difficulty waking up, do you wake up with an alarm or do you just wake up naturally?
Well, so I was waking up at 3:30, but I moved it up 30 minutes so I could do some of this other stuff. And so, yeah, now the last probably a couple of times a week, the alarm wakes me up.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, I just wake up naturally.
And that's a sign that you're getting a proper amount of sleep generally. I mean, if you're having difficulty and you're waking up every 2 hours that way, it's not. But if after the night of sleep, so if that's the case, then see if you can figure out when you can do that extra half hour another time, because that cuts it to 3, 5.5 hours rather than 6. And yeah. That's your body's sign saying, hey, you might need a little more.
Well, that's the trade-off. I mean, trading off sleep for, you know, doing 10 minutes of Muse or doing 10 minutes on my Beamer or, you know, doing 20 minutes on my stepper or 30 minutes, or do I just keep it to 15, you know, 15 is kind of minimal. So that's kind of, you know, those are the things I'm trying to work in before I get dressed and leave for work.
Yeah. And you have to be at work early then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because typically when you cut out 2 hours of sleep that way, if you're not getting 8 hours, you're getting two, that's what gives you that extra time. So you may look and see if there's other ways. I don't want you to give up Muse, or can you do Muse in the sauna? That might be another option, right?
Well, yeah, I haven't bought a sauna yet, but that's also on my list. So that'll be something else to me.
That'll be something else. You can do that multitasking. That's why I do it while I work.
You can do the sauna thing later in the day.
Beamer and Muse, you could probably do at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm using the Beamer on my eyes, though, and so that, and the Muse goes over your forehead, so there's kind of a...
Okay, yeah, so that would be a difficult one. But look around at all the things you're doing and seeing where you can overlap them.
Yeah, believe me, I look at multitasking all the time.
Hey, Jay, is that a solid 6 hours sleep? You waking up at all?
Yeah, it's solid. Every once in a while I might wake up if I have to pee, but pretty much no. I hold it and, yeah, for 6 hours, yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find myself, I've been not setting an alarm ever since I got back from Europe, and I was on that, you know, Europe time. And first I was waking up at 4, and then I was waking up at 6. And now I very consistently wake up before 7, regardless of what time I go to bed. So I don't set an alarm anymore. And it feels really good to just have my body naturally wake up after that period of time. The first few days getting back, I was waking up at weird hours and not getting enough just because I was readapting. But yeah, so if you're having any difficulties, there's just so much in here. And I would say before the end of today, what I want us to do is have you have a list of where you think your most obstacles are. Now, in every single one of these, there is a mini version of that seven pillars for just that pillar. So if you do your seven pillars assessment and you find that there's only one that's off, you don't have to do the whole assessment again to get an action plan. You can come in here. So we come in to the sleep. It says observe and track your daily sleep and evaluate. So there's a sleep assessment right there. So each of these has one. Actually, I don't know why my team said it was difficult to, if we have these all in digital form, we should be able to just combine them and get the numbers. Yeah. Anyway, we'll look at that. Anyway, so now you can go in and say, how is my sleep? How am I feeling during the day as a result? Do I have a sleep issue? And you can do that for each of them.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of the questions overlap. So, I mean, if you could digitize it or create a matrix that, you know, that copies from one to the other, then that would eliminate, you know, that'd make it a lot faster and easier to fill out.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, it would require us to get new software to do it because this software doesn't allow it. And, you know, recreate them and all that. But it's definitely on my radar as something I really want to be able to offer. Okay, pillar four. Food. This is everybody's, the focus that most people spend. Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but I'm not doing the others. But why shouldn't I just get better if I'm perfect on my food? So we've set it up into six pieces. Who feels like they need more support with their food, that they're just not sure what works for them, or they're having difficulties with, say, emotional eating or not eating enough or eating too much? I think, Rich, we fixed up. Yeah, let me hear what you have to say, because I was thinking by having you eat more frequently helped you.
Yeah, that's, that frequency has really helped out. I've been eating like every 3 hours. And my body seems to like that. My only issue with that is the planning and making sure I get a variety of different foods. My problem is I keep eating the same foods all the time. And so I need to be a little better with the meal planning, like a week in advance. And I haven't, successfully done that.
Okay. So what do you think you need to be able to, better have variety? Because there's two issues you mentioned, variety and planning. And I don't do any meal planning. I just have variety just because I buy a bunch of stuff and just So let me hear you out on that to see how I can support you on that one.
Okay, what I do is on my greens, I buy the same greens. I'm buying my spinaches, my arugula, my kale, and...
And is that because that's the availability in your area, or because you're just used to it and that's what you know?
It's probably because I'm just used to it and I grab that. I go to that.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So
it's
so
the ones I like too, because some of the mixed greens, they just spoil so quickly.
Yeah. Avoid the I try to avoid the lettuce, and then I usually, they come in a plastic box. So first thing I do is put a, paper towel in it, and I keep a paper towel in each one of those, and they make it last a lot longer.
I've learned that recently. Yep.
That's great. Now, do you have a farmer's market that you could go to buy? Because they have all kinds of stuff there.
Yes, we do. Exactly. And
so maybe you experiment with every week you're going to find one new green, and you're going to figure out ways to eat it. And you'll be surprised that the ways you're eating the greens now are similar to the ways that you can eat the other greens. You can make them into smoothies. You can steam them and put some kind of really nice flavorful sauce on them. You got tons of those recipes. You can saute them either in a small amount of oil and garlic, or, you know, water saute them, whichever you prefer. I vary it. I mostly don't like to use oil and heat it, but if I do, it's like a little bit of coconut oil or macadamia oil. I haven't done that in a long time, avocado oil or olive oil, and with a little bit of it. And then just to, I don't know, give it a little mouthfeel, and then saute them. The other day I made my son and I, it was mushrooms because we had the greens separately, but same kind of thing you can do with greens. I put them in the pan and I put in simple, because I didn't want to chop up garlic and all that. So I took garlic powder, and we have this salt. It's called kimchi salt. And I'll have to, on the next break when we go to the kitchen, I'll show it to you and give you the name of it. But I found it at a health fair, and it's all organic, and it's got probiotics in it, and it's got salt, and it's got other seasonings. It's really good. So I put that in there. And then there's this seasoning called beri beri. That's an Ethiopian. If you've ever eaten at Ethiopian restaurants, they use it a lot. They now have it. Frontier now has one. Or you can go to an Ethiopian restaurant. Get it, but you may not have any Ethiopian restaurants in up in New Hampshire there. Boston will, if you get to Boston again. In fact, I've been to one in Boston. It was good years ago. So that flavoring gives it, if you like that, you know, really nice variety, you can just go to Mountain Rose Herbs and you can buy a variety of those little flavored seasonings, right? So Thai mix and Cajun mix and whatever else you think you might like. And then just make a point of once a week, you try a new green and try it in a way that, you know, I would try the new green in an old way, first of all, because you know that the method of cooking you liked. So whether it was a saute or a steam or a smoothie, just try it with a new green. And then try a familiar one with a new way. Because if you do vary both and you get this new green and you try it in this new way, it may have nothing to do with the green. It may have everything to do with the spice or whatever else you did with it. Right? But it just helps to have that variety because you get different nutrients. I always eat arugula. I don't eat a lot of spinach, but, you know, it's usually there every week. But we'll buy dandelion. We'll buy mustard greens. Although mustard greens, it's best if you can buy them in small batches because they're strong and you're not going to use a huge amount like you would for arugula. There's the frizzies, and there's all kinds of them. But look, and just make a point of every week you try a new one and make a variety. Yeah.
What's your favorite go-to oil for the sauteing?
If I'm going to saute, I'll usually use either coconut is probably your safest at higher heat.
Yep.
Right, in the pan. You could use olive, but be careful, and you could use avocado. But again, I try not to use the oils. I use the oil because my son really likes it with a little bit of oil, and I wanted him to like it. Yep. But generally, I'll use a little bit of water in the pan to saute.
Okay.
Maybe water with garlic or some other seasoning.
I have some grape seed oil. Is that good for sauteing? Is that just for salad? Or
I don't think it's good for anything.
Get rid of it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's good for anything.
Yeah, deep frying turkeys.
Deep frying turkeys and feeding them to your enemies.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be careful on oils for heating, especially. I mean, I'm not a big fan of oil therapeutically for someone who is very high metabolic rate, trying to gain weight. You can use them in salad dressings, right? But oil is really just a fractured, refined food. So I'm not so fanatical, like I will never have anything that has oil in it, because reasonably speaking, you go to a restaurant, it makes it a little bit harder. Yeah. But I'm real careful about the kind of oil I will. If something has canola oil in it, I won't eat it.
I think Patty told me that I should incorporate more olive oil because of my that LDL particle size.
I mean, you can. I would rather see you incorporate more olives.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah, because I eat a lot of olives. There's these really good Bottega, I think they are. I have them in my kitchen. They come, they're dehydrated. Elena Love sells them on her site. And they come in this little package. Don't buy the ones on Amazon, because unless you get them, I'll give it to you when we go to the kitchen. I'll show you. But I love these olives. They are just like so good. And you're getting plenty of olive oil by eating the olives, right? So you're getting the benefit of the olive oil, but you're also getting the benefit of the other nutrients and the protein and vitamins, minerals, et cetera, that are in the olives themselves.
So I steamed a head of broccoli last night, which is a pretty common thing. And so then I would put the olive oil on the, you know, in the head of the broccoli after it's steamed. So
you could, or you can get some chopped up olives, and you can make what do you call it?
Pate.
Yeah, but they have a name for it, tapenade or something like that, where you blend it up and you can put a little bit of, you know, avocado or whatever else you want to put in it. And it makes a really nice little spread. You can put that on. So there's a lot of options if we think outside the box that are not hard to make, not at all.
I use the food processor a lot with the mixed vegetables as well, and make a pate out of it.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Right. So if you have a bunch of mixed vegetables, my son, again, you know, we had the sauteed mushrooms. We also steamed up a pot of broccoli and cauliflower. And what did I need for that? Oh, yeah, we had some cashew mac cheese that we'd made a few days before, and I took that and I seasoned it up with some spices and just put that over the vegetables. It's really, really good. He liked it. Very filling and satisfying. Makes a whole meal. So those are ways to do it as well. And then, of course, the blending, right? So you can make like the Thai soup where you blend it with some coconut and some Thai seasonings. I'm into really fast. When I went downstairs, I made the smoothie. We had a 15-minute break. I had a bunch of other stuff to do. I just threw stuff together really quickly. And it's pretty fast and easy. Any other food issues that we should address? Yeah, Debbie.
So one thing, talking about the greens, I am having still some trouble with chewing and breaking them down. And also because of my arms, doing a lot of the blending's been a little challenging, just arm ability. So I'm thinking maybe short-term, at least, getting some more green powders, because I know they have like kale and different
broccoli sprouts.
Yeah. What do you think about that for a while, just getting my greens?
You could, but I'm trying to understand what the problem is with your arms and blending.
The Vitamix is so, I love my Vitamix, but the glass jar, and it's just too heavy for me right now with my shoulders, with my arms, and the healing with my shoulder injuries.
So lifting the blender.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now, the glass.
You found a Vitamix with a glass jar? Because if you have, I want one.
I'm sorry, not glass, but even just the.
Okay, got it. Because yeah, the glass jars are much.
Yeah,
worse.
No, it's. But you know,
I want one.
I know. They don't make them. But you know, they are pretty sturdy. That's what makes them so great. They have a lot of.
Yeah,
they're not a cheap light blender.
No, so you're saying that after you blend it, it's hard to pick up the Vitamix to pour it.
Yeah.
What if you make a smaller amount?
Well, right now, they're just the weight of it empty. It's
even empty, it's hard to pick up. Okay. Yeah. So I think in that case, I would say that the powders are probably going to be a good deal. Check out Mountain Rose Herbs and check out Z Natural Foods. And they have broccoli sprouts, broccoli kale, and they may have others as well. And make sure, again, you do variety.
You might consider a stick blender.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
That's a good idea, Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, let me write that down.
Look them up on Amazon. I actually just returned a stick blender. I got one because I was just thinking it would be easy in the pan to do that, but it was a plug-in and I wanted a portable, but it was a really nice heavy duty, and you could plug it in if you have an outlet that's near the pot, you know, and then you can just scoop out the ingredients into a bowl for yourself. Great idea, Jay.
Yeah, thank you. That I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I did have one other food question. Sure. Eggs have been like a primary protein for me for years. And at times I tried to cut back and then I just kind of get back on them again. And then on top of wanting to kind of find a replacement, someone had posted a thing about the medical medium or medical, and about how eggs can contribute to like Epstein-Barr and all that kind of stuff too. So I don't know what you think about that, if that's true, and also maybe some suggestions of alternative proteins that.
Yeah, so you're doing it for protein. So sometimes I've had people who really like they just craved the eggs, they needed them because of the lecithin. There's a lot of lecithin in them. So when I switched them to getting sunflower lecithin or eating more sunflower seeds for the lecithin, that satisfied it. So are you doing it for breakfast as a protein source at breakfast?
I have been doing it for all my meals for a long time. And because I'm trying to heal, I do need some digestible protein because I am trying to heal tissues and tendons and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of tired of them now. I'm not even wanting them anymore, but I'm still doing it because I'm just not sure what else to, I mean, the only protein powder that I've been really done well with, and I could just ramp that up more, is the collagen protein powders. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's probably not good to do too much of those just because of the whole bone.
And the glutamine and yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sources of protein and people get locked into, you have to have eggs or milk or, you know, meat to get protein. And the reality is everything has it. So you have to figure out what you tolerate and what you could ramp up. So nuts and seeds, I don't know if you tolerate nuts and seeds, but like pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds especially have a fair amount of protein. So I don't know if you've tried that, but hemp seeds can be phenomenal sprinkled on things, but also made into a shake. There's a lot of ways you can do hemp seeds as a higher source of protein. If you can tolerate legumes, lentils are a phenomenal source of protein.
Okay.
Phenomenal. I mean, very, very high. Small amount, lot of protein, right? And especially with lentils, for people who don't maybe tolerate beans because of digestive issues, if you soak your lentils first and then sprout them overnight, you know, you get the little tail on them and then cook them. They cook faster, but also they're much more digestible. And I think there's a company called True Roots that sells sprouted lentils. So yes. They've already sprouted them and dried them. Yes. And then you've got the benefits of that. They're going to be much more digestible.
Okay.
Okay.
If I were to be doing like the lentils and the hemp, would that be enough protein sources daily? Would that be?
You know, it depends. I'd have to see. What you do is you write everything down. There's a program online called Chronometer. Chronometer. You need the free version or the paid version. The paid version is like $40 for a year. It has better reports, but I haven't tried. I haven't seen the reports from the free version, but try it. And it will tell you exactly what your nutrients are from the amounts that you're eating. It'll give you your omega 3 and 6 ratio. It will give you your protein. You put in your age, like what are you targeting for? Your size. You're small, right? What are you like 5'2" or something?
5 feet and
100 pounds. Or 90 pounds or something?
Like 85 pounds.
Yeah, so the amount that you need for protein is much lower than you think. You probably only need, you know, if you're fully healthy, 40 grams a day. If you're trying to repair and you need extra, maybe 60 grams of protein a day. So you can put that in there, and you also don't have a lot of muscle mass. So, you know, Rich is trying to put on muscle mass. He already has a fair amount of muscle mass. So he would need a higher percentage of his body mass index that he would need as protein. But if you go get that program and just put everything you're eating in there and do it over the course of several days, because one day might fall short and one day may go high, that's okay. It balances out. But go ahead and try that, and that'll tell you where you're at. And then you can just play with foods. In the, let's see if I have it, in the nutrients, understanding and optimizing your nutrients, there's a whole presentation on protein. Oh, wait, that's not that one. Where is it? Must be the one before that. Choosing the proteins that serve you best. There you go. And it has, I think there's a video in here. Yeah, there's a video in here. Assess your protein intake. I'm going to update this with the chronometer. Fitday works as well, but I think I like the chronometer better. Determine if you're in a state of excess or deficiency. You're clearly thinking you're in deficiency because you're trying to repair. And then there should be, I think in this presentation, there's a chart of the protein content of various foods. If not, go to, what's the name of it? WHfoods.com and look it up. And this tells you about proteins. Here we go. Here we go. Right. And if you go to WHfoods.com, you can look up, this is in animal flesh, how much protein is in specific things with the based on the size. So if you're looking at, oh, there's an egg in there, but you'll go to theirs here, dairy and egg. So one egg has 6 grams of protein. So if you're used to eating, say, 2 eggs a day, is that on average what you would eat?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's basically 12.5 grams of protein a day. So how do you get 12.5 grams of protein? Well, you can have a cup of lentils and you've got 17, right? Wow. See, you can have garbanzo beans. You can have green peas. You can have 2 cups of collard greens and you're almost there, right? You can look at this chart and go, okay, what do I need? Pumpkin seeds, 1/4 cup. You're up at 9. Really, you're looking to replace, and maybe because of the protein efficiency of an egg being, you know, balanced more in the amino acids, maybe if you were taking in, say, 12.5, maybe you target for adding an extra 15 to 18 grams of protein. Look at these charts, and you can figure out how to get it.
And where was that? In which section was that?
If we go back to, it's in ERC Foundations. Let me go back to the Foundations Pillar 4.
Okay.
And then under it, it says protein. See where it says protein? Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
What do you think about the Epstein-Barr being fed by?
I haven't researched it. I know I haven't researched it enough to really be able to say one word.
Okay. Because I did have mono in the past. So when I saw that, I thought, well, this might be another good reason to branch out.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of eggs because personally I'm super, super allergic. I know that they are generally, it's to get quality is really hard. And a lot of folks who have been exposed early on to egg albumin via immunizations do have a sensitivity, even if it's not an overt one, it may be something that's propagating some of the inflammation that's causing the pain and all the other stuff. So if you can find alternatives, stay away from it for 3 weeks or so, see how you feel. And then try adding it back and see if, you know, checking your pain level and all that.
Okay, yeah, because with all the inflammation I'm struggling with, it would be worth trying. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. This is really helpful.
Debbie, I found a product that's an egg substitute that's actually not too bad. It's most of them really aren't that great.
No, they're usually
not. I'll go find it. I've got one in my pantry. I'll try to get it at the break and. But it's an algae based, but it looks like kind of scrambled eggs is what it looks like.
Interesting. And algae is a real good source. So is spirulina and chlorella. Very good sources of protein.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anybody else have any nutrition questions? So just to show you, yeah, that was protein. There's one on carbohydrates. There's one on fats. And all those charts, there's charts in every single one. So as you do your nutrient assessment forms that we gave you and you see which ones you're going to be down in, you can just go and find either the macronutrients, which each one has its own little box, or the vitamins or minerals. Vitamins, there's charts in here that you can be looking at. there's all these different videos, but then here's nutrient, there's your assessment, but there's your nutrient assessment chart. So it'll show you, no, that's not the one. Here, vitamin rich foods to correct imbalances. I actually compiled this from WH Foods because it's there. Some of them are really hard to find out there. So I have a vitamin A1, there's a vitamin B2, vitamin B3. So all of the different nutrients have that. And you could quickly look up and say, okay, looks like I'm low in this. So you start with a fitday.com or a chronometer and combine that with your nutrient symptom charts that we just had you do. And say, okay, I really think I need more vitamin A or B6. How am I going to get it? You can look here at doing it. You can play around with your diet that way. You can put it back into chronometer or fitday and then come up and see if you're getting it. And then redo the assessment. If you're still having symptoms of that, it may be just that you need more because of some genetic imbalance that's making you need more.
Dr. Rita Marie, this is Karen. I have a quick question because the imbalances list looks to be if you don't have enough of something. Mm-hmm. But this will next comment will overlap the vitamin and mineral assessments. Because last night, very late yesterday, I got blood test results that shows that my B6 is off the charts high. Mm-hmm. It's like hundreds of times higher than it should be.
B6? Wow.
B6, yes. And so this is something I don't know at all what to do about. And secondly, I have very low, I don't even know how to categorize them all, but red blood cell factors. So it would appear that my general lack of energy and fatigue and so forth is possibly because of being anemic.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure which direction to look at for something like that in imbalances charts.
Okay. So B6, now was this a blood, a serum blood test, or did they do a red blood cell or white blood cell or a stimulation test, a functional test? Do you know?
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't really know. It was just blood drawn that.
Yeah. So, because here's the thing. A lot of times those numbers in the blood don't mean anything. It could be a transient high. The other question I would ask, first of all, is are you supplementing? Are you taking any B6 supplementation?
No, I'm not. But I am taking B complex. And this is where I just don't know if I should stop it.
Okay. So then look and see how much you're taking in there, right? Because that B complex, some B complexes are super high and you're drawing it in. But I would be asking whoever drew that blood for you, whether it's a serum, and it might say it on the lab, it may say serum B6. My understanding is not that accurate. You can do a functional B6 test, but then it's expensive. You'd have to run it through something like NutriVal or SpectraCell, and they give more of a functional assessment. Are there dangers to it? No, but I would be thinking that since you're not, well, it could be if you're supplementing, but since you're not supplementing, then
B-complex.
You're just getting it from, except the B-complex, but even in the B-complex, it's usually not that much that would throw you into an excess. So I'd be questioning whether you really do have an excess. The other question I would have is your body unable to activate it into the usable form to get it into your tissues? So it's just ending up in your blood, but the tissues aren't picking it up. And that could be related to a mechanism which I'd have to go look up.
I don't know, but I got rather worried looking at the internet last night because an excess of B6 can cause neurological issues, and I do have them and have had them consistently since the traffic accident.
Yeah.
Severe tingling and pain in my foot and, you know, other things that are definitely neurological in nature.
Yes.
And I don't
really know when you're supplementing consistently at 500 or more. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot more that needs to
be. Yeah, yeah. No, clearly.
Yeah. Could that be? So I would say definitely look at your B6 or your B complex, and you may want to do individual Bs. You may want to look to see how are your other Bs stacking up in terms of the symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. Do you show signs of some deficiencies in them? in which case you may need to be supplementing with them, right? Extra.
Okay.
But sometimes, I mean, I'm a big fan of people who are specifically people who are very sensitive of taking separated vitamins, at least initially, until
you're okay.
stabilized and balanced. And then you can long-term maintenance, take a combo.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, those are the things I would look at because it's really rare. Rare to have that without supplementation.
Plus the bees exactly. The bees are water soluble. So
yeah. And usually yes. you're going to see them out, right? So if it's in your blood and you had just taken your supplements within a few hours before that, it could just be from that.
No, because I did the blood test, a fasting blood test because of a couple of the tests they did. So I had taken no supplements.
Okay. What I would recommend you do is upload that. We don't have spots in the regular master tracker for that, but if you could put all your other numbers in the master tracker and then just mm-hmm. upload that.
Okay.
Upload your original test. We can have a look at it because that's curious. That's got my curiosity up. I'm looking to see if I see any others.
I put it in my Google Drive for.
It's already there. Then you don't have to upload.
Yes, for today.
Google Drive. We'll take a look at that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Curious. Okay, where was my? Here we go. Any other nutrition questions? Diet questions? Oh, what happened? My screen just went black. Did you see that or did it just on my end?
It's back.
Yeah, it should here.
Yes, there. You see it now, right?
Yep.
You'll see my screen. Okay, cool. It's just like my whole thing went black. I wonder if I had a little brownout kind of thing. But it came right back. Okay, we came back right back because I have a UPS, which is a
probably not if you're on a laptop.
No, I'm not. I'm on my main computer. Yeah, and it does have one of those power things. So I bet that's what happened. All right, I'll be able to tell by looking at the alarm clocks if they're buzzing, if they're bleeping. All right, so let me look at the chat to see if there's anybody else that has. Good. Okay, good. All right, no other questions about food? Then just make sure that you're aware. I mean, a lot of people aren't even aware of all the stuff that's in here. It's powerful. Again, there's recipe collections. So if you're looking for other ideas, we've got access to tons of different recipes in this recipe collection and planning section. All different things about different kinds of beverages. Healing Kitchen Resource Guide, Energizing Breakfast, Kitchen Makeover. So there's a lot of stuff here. Like figure out what your main hang up is. Like I want to know other foods to support me in specific nutrients. Well, then you look at this carbohydrate, protein, and nutrient sections, right? Healing foods and protocols. This is like a little summary. So if you're going through those little assessments and it looks like your adrenals are way out of whack, well, you can at least come here without having to go through the full adrenal program and just look at the eating part. So we kind of pulled out of each of the programs, the eating four pieces. So you have the recipe collection, you've got some elixir stuff and various things related to that. And then you've got adrenal nourishing smoothies. So you've got a lot of things. So whatever shows up there, start with the food piece and just go to this section of the website, Healing Foods and Protocols, and look at all the things you've got there.
Yeah, I was in the cafe program a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I noticed, I was wondering how up to date that it is because it's got testing. It doesn't mention Dutch testing, but it mentions Meridian Valley.
Yeah, it's got to get updated. Let me make a note of that.
Something else, but.
Let me make a note of that.
Is that still a good program to.
Oh, it's a great program. It's just that it doesn't have anything, it doesn't have the updated labs.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, that's good because it's been on my agenda. I just have to, and it was assigned to somebody a long time ago. Okay, got it. All right, anything else? Okay, let's move on. Pillar five is fitness. I think we added something to the fitness. Yeah, we added Maria to the fitness. So you've got Basic Fitness 101, which is bursts and all that. We have videos that Teresa Tapp had donated from her stuff. She has a great process. We've got a busy people routine from Michelle Melendez. She's come and done led exercises at our various events in the past, and then Fitness with Maria. And just go check some of this stuff out and see what resonates for you, right? You may find that this T-Tap is amazing and you get her videos and you do it. It's very much into muscle origin insertion type things. So like very specific muscle techniques and activating the entire muscle belly. You can just watch the little short videos we have in there and see if any of these resonate with you. Maria, I don't know if we added, Maria's was one that she did with everybody. You'll recognize some of your faces there. Back last September, and you know what? I'm going to add to this. She also has offered, for those of you who haven't done it yet, a free online group fitness program, and I'll add that to this page too. But we have it in Sweet Spot, and those group classes, a lot of people are getting some really great benefit. And she also does one-on-one. I do one-on-one with her, and she helps me to, you know, I just noticed yesterday my arms are getting bigger. Which is what I want, by the way. It's not that I don't want to get my arms bigger, but they were skinny and scrawny before. So anyway, so those are all that stuff there that's there with fitness. So any problems that anybody's having with really getting the right fitness routine going that's not exhausting them, but that is feeling like it's doable and can do every day?
I definitely.
Okay.
But I feel like I don't bring it up because I'm doing physical therapy and it's more of a healing from injuries. So I feel like the standard stuff, I'm not ready for just kind of all the.
Yeah. I think your physical therapist would need to be the one because she's evaluating you to help you with that. But finding those things that you can do that aren't going to aggravate your injuries is an important thing to do. You can find some sort of bursting. You know, if you have problems with standing, you can do bursting from laying on your back and, you know, pumping your arms up and down. So there's definite ways to do that. Anybody else? Everybody good? Okay. And then we have pillar 6, which is detox. We're going to run the green cleanse again in either August or September. I can't remember which. But people, you know, jump in. They go, I want to detox. What should I do? We've got to start with everyday detox, right? Clean up your environment. A lot of times people are living in a toxic environment and don't even realize what's there. So we've given you a little video and then air filters. I just have this guy from I forget the name of it. Some one of you said you have it. Was it Rich that said he had it? No. Who was it that said? Somebody in one of the other programs said they have it and I can't even remember the name of it, but he contacted me. Mark Hyman and Ocean Robbins and all these people have referred his stuff and really like it. So he said, hey, can I send you a free air purifier? Try it out for a month and let me know if you think your people would enjoy it. So he sent me a free air purifier, which I'm excited about trying because he said the reason I stopped using the ones I bought years ago was they were so bloody noisy. I mean, you try to have a conversation with someone with this air purifier going and you can't even hold a conversation. So we turn it down or off. This one, it detects the level of I guess it's particulates in the environment. And then it will raise or lower based on that. And it has a little readout. So he said, like, if you go in the kitchen and you burn something and you've got all kinds of, you know, heterocyclic amines getting into the air, it will pick that up and it'll fire up and then it'll slow it back down. So it sounded like a really good product. So I'm going to be testing it out for the next few weeks and then go from there and I'll let you guys know. Because I think so many times we have this horrific air and nobody's really looking at it very well because it's not terrible like mold, right? Sometimes we have mold for a long time. We don't even know that we have it, but sometimes we have it and it stinks or smells bad. I know that new carpet smell, that's so toxic, loads of formaldehyde. If you've done any kind of maintenance or repair on your house, you're probably outgassing. So air purifiers are really a good thing to do.
So do you remember the name of it?
I'll get it on the break.
Or the manufacturer?
Yeah, they sell it on Amazon. And it's $5.99 on Amazon, and he said he could get it for us for like $3 something. So a really significant improvement in the price. And it's Air Doctor, I think. Look up Air Doctor. I think it might be Air Doctor. He also sent me a sample of a countertop reverse osmosis unit that has a dispenser. Yeah, it's not hooked up to your system. You have to fill it, but it will filter a gallon in like 14 minutes. Ooh. And it's got the three filters that are there, and you could just change them out, and it sits on your counter, and it looks nice. Again, they all showed up just yesterday or the day before, and I haven't had a chance to unbox them yet. But again, I'll see if I like it, and then we may have him come in, or somebody, one of the tech people from his company, come in and just talk about the product and the specifications.
Well, that's interesting for gravity, because the problem with RO units, they need the water pressure to push the water through the membranes normally.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not sure how that works. I know I have my RO unit sits under my sink. It's this huge blue bucket thing that's about that high and that round. So it takes up almost the entirety of under my sink. And then it's also got this other unit that has the three filters that takes up another section of under my sink. So there's very little room under my sink because of this unit. I'm not giving it up because it's then hooked in straight to my faucet. But a lot of people who live in don't have that room, so smaller places, or you live in an apartment or you're renting and you don't want to, you know, the expense of installing it and having it run through your faucet, this kind of thing might make sense. So I'll let you guys know what I think about it once I use it. I'll probably, what I'm going to do is set it up right up here in my office so that I can not have to go downstairs when I want to keep filling up my bottles. So we'll see how it goes. But that's important stuff. Okay. So this is basically your everyday detox. Right? Detox foods and all that. And I recommend that if you haven't been through this pillar, just start at the beginning, clean up your environment, your environmental stuff. You know, there was a whole thing we did a couple of years ago, and we have that together, minimize your toxic exposure, all that. And a lot of times it's just some simple things like cosmetic swap outs and air cleaners and purifier swap outs. So I know you're a pretty sophisticated audience, but there may be some little things here. I put mouth and dental health. I think we never moved it. I thought we had it in here. Maybe she moved it after we.
Is that the oil pilling?
Yeah, there's that, and there's a whole talk with Nadine Artemis. I guess it didn't get, it only got changed on the other side. It didn't get changed over here. Yeah, because I'll have to make sure. This didn't get fixed. Apparently the guy who moved over the site copied it before we made the changes, but we moved because I didn't think it was the appropriate spot for it. Dental health, I thought that belonged in the nutrition because there's a lot of stuff related to food in there. So we moved it there. But it's there now, and we'll get it moved. Make a note to myself, move. And there also would be a food allergies section probably. All right. It is here. So it's on this page too. It's on eating for mouth and dental health. I guess he got moved, but she didn't change the drop-down menu. And then food allergies, yeah. So it's in two places, so that won't hurt. And then optimizing liver detoxification pathways and the green cleanse. So ideally, you know, if you're thinking about, what's the latest and the greatest detox powder? And what's the latest and the greatest? Go through this process, which is gentle and is helping you to clean up your everyday exposures. Because I've known people who go through detoxes and then they go back and, you know, they stop for pizza and beer on their way home from their 3-week cleanse, right? Like, yeah, you know, or they go back to their new carpeting and they're putting in equipment that, you know, sometimes we can't change it. If you live in an apartment that has carpeting or you're renting a house and it has carpeting in it, you can't really change that out, but you could get the air purifier and you can help support your body's detoxification mechanisms in that particular case. Any questions on detox cleansing? Overdoing it, doing it too fast. Debbie, I'll get you in a sec. doing it too fast can be very detrimental, especially if you are, you know, you have a weak immune system and you're dealing with overcoming injuries and other illnesses. So some people will jump right in these really deep detox programs and they feel awful because the body's dumping all these toxins out of the storage and out of the cells, out of the fat cells and into the bloodstream. And then the body, the liver can't keep up with it and get rid of it. And so it just recycles and you feel awful. So you got to be careful with detoxing going slowly. So Debbie?
Yeah, I'm in a new situation where I'm in a more urban area and I'm getting a lot of, I'm on the intersection of two busy streets. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking the bus and stuff. So I'm out getting way more like car exhaust and bus mm-hmm. exhaust than I've ever have because I've always lived in nature, but I need to be more centrally located right now. So is it the same kind of just general detox when you're getting a lot of car petroleum type fumes, or is there any additional thing I might think about doing right now that would be helpful?
Yeah, so a lot of the general stuff, I mean, sauna could be super helpful if you have access to a sauna. Dry skin brushing to just clean some of that stuff out. Making sure you have 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. I know that might be an issue for you, but whatever it takes to get there, whether it's enemas or, you know, some of the other herbs and stuff that we've chatted about to keep the bowels moving because you want to eliminate this toxicity. Supporting your liver, right? So a lot of optimizing liver detoxification pathways, let's look in here. There's a lot of charts and stuff with specific herbs you'll have to play around with because of your food sensitivities, but certainly cruciferous vegetables make a huge difference. Foods that enhance detox, right? So there's herbs too, like milk thistle and broccoli sprouts and hawthorn berry and burdock root and dandelion and all the typical things. You want to really get your liver supported, especially if you have any SNPs in those pathways that are, you know, back leveled. B vitamins are super important, et cetera.
Okay.
And it's all in here.
Yeah. I take mine at night.
You take your B vitamins?
No, the liver support.
Oh, your liver support. Yeah, that's a great time to take it, at, you know, bedtime or, you know, somewhere between dinner and bedtime. Because the liver and gallbladder are doing the most work during the night. The detox, the growth hormone goes up so the body's able to detoxify better. That's a good point.
So I found a tincture for, it's kidney, it's a Hawaii farm has a tincture blend that's for kidney support. And I'm trying to decide, should I take that at nighttime when I take the liver support, you think, or does it not matter?
My only concern with that would be it might wake you up to pee more. And if you think about liver, right, the liver is doing its thing and it's making things water soluble. So it might help, but it also might be good to take it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And I would just play with it. If you do end up waking up to pee several times during the night, when you start to take it, it's not a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good question. Does that help, Debbie?
Yeah, that does. I've been knowing I needed to address it at some point. So
yeah. Yeah. And go slow. You don't want it stuff that's going to be pulling Yankee stuff out of your tissues quicker than your liver can get rid of it. So really enhancing the liver pathways is the first step. And methylation is important. And when we make sure you come, I know you've been to them before and I don't remember off the top of my head about your methylation pathways, but we can talk about that again and just see what your pathways are, your detox and your methylation pathways.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Anybody else? Questions about cleansing, detoxing? All right. What's our last pillar, guys? Huh?
Having fun.
Who's having enough fun? You having fun? Let's have fun right now. Come on. What can we do? Yay, yay. We got to have fun. We got to make it fun, right? Not every day in our lives is going to be loaded with fun. And we've got to find ways to make it fun. What I love about this, it's just one single page. It's not rocket science, is that you can start with your fun assessment. And if your fun quota is not good, then you want to create your own personalized fun prescription. So we have this whole document on fun as an antidote of stress to give you some ideas. But we also have a fun inventory, right? And I will tell you, of all the things that I've ever done in group activities, is for people to sit down and fill this in has been the most challenging thing they did. Because it's like, I don't know what I love to do. I don't know. You're so into going to work and taking care of the family. What do you love to do? And here's how I recommend you do it. In fact, we're going to take a break in a little, what time is it now? 1:45, 1:55. Yeah, so probably about a half hour, 45 minutes. We'll take another break. And I would love for you on that break to just take time to fill this out. Who's filled this out before? No one? Okay, on our break, we're going to fill this out, right? This is here on the page, pillar 7, fun. You click on create your own personalized plan. It's a PDF. What are some of the activities you love to do? And maybe if you can't think of any now because your life is just so inundated, what did you used to like to do? What did you like to do as a kid or a teenager, as a young adult? What did you like to do? I know Rich likes to ski, right? Rich can't ski all the time. He can't ski every day, right? So what do you like to do that you could do on a day-to-day basis? I've recently discovered little word puzzles on my phone. So, you know, when I find myself, I just take a break for 5 minutes and I'll do a couple of these little word puzzles. Or I like to go outside. I like to be in the sun. I'll have a 5-minute break. I'll run outside and I'll stick my feet in the water. And I'll, you know, just wander around the yard. Whatever it takes, whatever you love to do. I have tons of things I love to do. And I make a point of including them every day. Fortunately, I love creating PowerPoint presentations. Because I get to do that a lot, right? Fortunately, I love doing webinars. So I can just say I'm having fun right now. This is my fun. I love this. I love interacting with people. What is it you like to do? But here's the critical thing. Tune into why you love it. Because that might help you be able to find something else. Like, why do you love skiing, Rich? You can't do it every day. So why do you love it? And what are some other things? Maybe it's for a thrill. What can you do on a more regular basis that gives you a thrill? Maybe it's because you love being outdoors and exerting and feeling your body moving. Well, maybe there's something else you can do. Maybe bicycle riding or something like that. What is it that you enjoy? Personally, I'm lucky. I love running. My favorite form of exercise. I love nothing more than to go out, and the longer I could run, the better. So I get to listen to my audiobooks while I'm doing it. I get 2 for the price of 1. It's really cool, right? What do you love to do, and how much time does it take? I love to ski too, Rich. I've been skiing 1.5 years. I love it. I absolutely love it. How much time does it take? At least 5 days, right? To pack and plan it all out and then get on the plane and travel there and drive to the ski slope. I mean, I have to have a good 5 days in order for me to go skiing. You're different because you live in Vermont. Vermont's right near New Hampshire, probably has some ski slopes. You can do that. I don't have any place I could drive to. It's a 5-day trip, so I can't do it regularly. But I like to ride my bike. How long does that take? Well, probably about 30 minutes. I mean, at the minimum, because you got to get out there. And probably more like 1 hour, but what's the minimum it takes? How long does it take me to do one of these little puzzles on my phone? 2 minutes? Great, right? So if you have this long list, you can figure out what you can fit in on a day-to-day basis. And then you can commit to doing it on a regular basis. Make sense? Yeah. And what this does to your stress levels, what this does to balance cortisol levels, what that means in terms of your digestion and in terms of brain clarity and brain function. I mean, it's so, so valuable. When we were at SIV, I think it was last year, it might have been the year before that, we did the 7 pillars assessment thing, and I had everybody help me to fill out a grid on the blackboard. And I had listed the 7 pillars and I said, okay, so how many of you had the fun as the most stress pillar? How many of the one had the highest score in this and that and the other thing? And guess what? Fun was the worst one. I would have thought it would have been exercise or food. And it's like, it just floored me. I'm like, this is fun. Like, I'm not telling you to give up your favorite foods. I'm not telling you to slave at the gym for 1 hour, 45 minutes. I'm just telling you to do things you love. And that's part of your health plan. Does that make sense? So that's what I want you to do, is find something you love to do that you can just immerse yourself and get lost in every single day. Who's willing to do that? Debbie is, Rich is, Paul is gone. Great. Jay's got his head down.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Fit it in, find it. For me, like going in my sauna has really been fun. Right? So I guess I'm weird because I like to do a lot of things, but find the things that are fun. Maybe it's read a good book. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking for. 5 minutes a day. Commit to 5 minutes a day. Who's not willing to commit to 5 minutes a day for fun?
Jay.
Hey, one of my fun things is reading novels. And I do that every day.
Yay, Jay. You are doing it then. Good for you.
That's what I do when I come from work. I mean, I'll probably take my second batch of tinctures on an empty stomach, and then I'll go read for 30 minutes.
Beautiful. When you get your sauna, you can combine that with your sauna. You don't have to, you know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah, well, I use a beamer too when I read. So,
how do you do that if you're putting the beamer on your eyes?
Or use a beamer. They have a pad that you can lay on, and mm-hmm. they have other pads for my feet. You know, so I'll do my feet.
Oh, beautiful. So I love multitasking. Some people say to me, just, well, chill out. Don't multitask. Look, if I don't multitask, something's got to give, right? Whether it's food prep time or sleep. Something's got to give, but if I can multitask, all the better. If I could sit in the sauna while I'm working on my computer and answering people's emails or questions on Facebook or creating content, all the better, right? And that doesn't mean I'm not taking some time. I take 20 minutes and I do the muse, and I really, you know, I love that. It's hard, though. It's hard to get my brain to shut off for 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it's one reason you have a hard time going to bed at night, because you got all these things you want to do.
I have so many things I want to do, but I'm making a commitment to it. I'm totally making it because I know it's important. I know that I need it. So. And my blood sugars are so much better when I do. I could eat strawberries if I go to bed at night. That's pretty cool. All right. We good?
We're good.
Karen says, I think I do more fun things than I realize, reading and cooking. Great. So here's what I'll say to you. Go through and make this list and acknowledge yourself. Like, hey, I'm doing this great thing for my health. I'm having fun. Because sometimes it's like we're not acknowledging ourselves. Okay. All right. And then there's this appreciation break game. Just throughout the day. This is right above where I'm sitting right now, where I'm standing right now, actually. And it's up that way. And I have this shelf, and I just have all kinds of trinkets. I don't know if you could see it for real, but can you see it? Wait, there it is. See all my cool things? These are little things that people have given me. There's mermaids, there's seashells, there's fairies, there's butterflies. There's just all kinds of cool stuff. And so if I'm feeling like, oh my God, that didn't get done. I had asked for that to get done 3 days ago. Why isn't that done yet? Now I have to do it myself. I breathe. I can look up. This is my latest one. My son brought me back from Russia, my little Russian doll thing. And I can think of him when I look at this, right? Sitting up on the shelf. It gives me that feeling of, you know, of connection with people. This, somebody gave me this one you love. Can you read what that says?
Time.
Yeah. Time in a bottle, right? A friend of mine gave it to me because I always say, I don't have enough time to do all this. So she gave me a bottle of extra time. When I feel like I'm rushed and overwhelmed, I go, I have extra time. I have extra time. So just things like that. I know it's corny, but whatever it is that makes you smile, that's fun. It's pleasure. It's fun. Sometimes people think, well, fun, it just has to be some fancy thing, and that's for kids. Pleasure. Think of it as pleasure. What brings you pleasure? Enjoy. Because it affects your nervous system and your immune system greatly. Okay? Good?
Good.
All right. All right, so that was that. So what I want you guys to do, what I want you guys to do is just take out a piece of paper or print this out. But I want you to write down what you think off the top of your head. And if you did your pillars assessment, then use it. But what do you think you need to be focused on the most in these basic pillars? Like, where do you think you're going to get the most bang for buck? And then I'm going to have you. Yeah, I think we'll do that now. So I'm going to have you do that. And then I want you, I did the pillars. Yeah. So, So then what I want you to do is that. And if you want to go and do some of those assessments that you missed, fine. But I really just sit with it. We've gone through this. Like, what feels like it's out of balance? Which of those organ systems, the digestion, the blood sugar, the adrenals, the thyroid, which of these feels to you like it needs work? And then let's have a talk about creating a little action plan for the next steps for you to take. Okay. So we'll take 205. Let's take about 20. Let's take 25 minutes. That way I'll give you a chance to go grab some lunch if you need it. So we'll get back at 2:30, which is about 25 minutes from now. And pick up, if you haven't done it already, get this activities you love to do. I want you to at least list 5 of them so we can chat about it when you get back. I want you to either do those 7 pillars assessments, or you heard enough about it that you'll kind of get a sense of which one needs the most work for you. And then which of your body systems seems to be talking to you the most. And then when we come back, we'll have some conversations to help that. And if anybody has labs that they want me to review, that'll be the time to do it as well. So I want to give each person a chance to give me a sense of where you think you are. Let's talk about it, see if we can come up with plans. And if you have any new labs that you want me to take a look at, then let me know and make sure that they're uploaded. Okay? Mm-hmm. We good? Any questions before we break?
Nope.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to stop the share. And I will stop the recording.